get to knock that off, sister. Hey, welcome to Bethel, man. We are so glad you're here. We love coming to hang out with you on Sunday mornings, and it's just a cool time. I do not want to start off with any negativity. I don't want it to be negative or heavy, but I need to share a couple of things with you this morning as we start. The first thing that I would ask you is this, is that we've had some people in our community that have been affected by the recent tornadoes and the storms that have taken place out in Hodges. There are about 6 or 8 families that have lost absolutely everything that they've got. I talked to a friend this week, and he said to me, he said, I talked to a friend of mine who lost their home, and the man said to me, I don't even have a socks to put on my feet this morning. And so I can't imagine the tragedy of losing everything that you've got. And so I just want you to know to be praying for them, if you will. Please pray for them throughout the week. And we're going to be reaching out to them as a church, and we're going to be helping them in some way and the best that we can. And so just be praying for those people who are struggling right now. Also, I'll share with you, there's a member of our congregation, a young man named Justin Laird. He's 38 years old. He used to sit right there, and he brought his little 3-year-old daughter to church with him. And yesterday, he took his daughter to Winters, Texas, to his mother's house, and his daughter was playing in the house, and he was out mowing the grass for his mother, and killer bees attacked him and killed him yesterday. And so this is going to be struggle for the family and for the child and for the whole bunch. And so we're going to try to walk with them the best we can through that, prepare a funeral and talk to them. So just be in prayer for 38-year-old guy, his family, his daughter, his kids. And so be praying for them. So we appreciate it. How many know there is power in prayer? And we've been talking about our home sweet church home. We couldn't make it through what we make it through without one another coming together and praying and lifting our names up before God and supporting one another and loving one another. So I just would challenge you to be in much prayer for all of those families this week. And so, glad you're here. I know I'm sniffing, I'm snorting, I know we're live. I'm sorry, I can't help it, but it is the way it is, okay? Glad you're here. Man, what an exciting time to be alive. People will say to me, oh, the world is this, and oh, Israel that, and oh, our government that, and oh, all the things that are going on in the world that seem to be dark and that seem to be crazy. But can I tell you, the light shines the brightest in the darkest of times. And I'm excited about the time we're living in because God is moving and God is doing something. God is changing lives. God is saving people. And I'm going to tell you, we have been pastors of Bethel Assembly for 23 years, and we've never seen the glory of God, and we've never seen a move of God like we're seeing right now. And we need to celebrate that and embrace that and thank God for that. I'm not saying this in any kind of way to be bragging. I'm saying this in a way to celebrate, for you and I to celebrate together. We just came off of Easter. And it was our greatest Easter ever. Between the campuses here in Albany and Sweetwater and Stanford, we had over 2,200 people that would come together and worship God. We had 1,100 folk gathered at Anson to worship God. Over 75 people gave their life to Jesus Christ. We had our biggest Easter ever in the following week. We had Stephen McCarter show up from Kentucky, who's like a bad cat in the kingdom of God. He led us in worship, and then last Sunday, y'all, how many of y'all were here last Sunday? Come on, somebody. It just don't get no better than that. We baptized 39 people. We had over 825 people that were gathered here to celebrate the salvations of people that laid love. It just doesn't get any better. It seems like God is moving. It seems like God is changing our lives, and here we are. Stuck in this little old building over here at Bethel Assembly where it's hot. We're stuck over here. It's not the perfect setup. We're stuck. People are standing up and sitting in folding chairs. We're stuck. And it just proves this right here, that God can do what God wants to do in spite of our circumstances. God always shows up. And I want to take a moment and say thank you for what you do. Thank you for seeking God. Can I tell you what the key is to seeing a move of God? How many want to continue to see a move of God? Shout yes. Yes. Can I tell you what the key is to seeing a move of God? It's not cool worship. It's not an awesome, amazing, handsome, young-looking preacher. It's not. The key to seeing a move of God is when people get hungry for the things of God. It's when you and I together say, I just want to see God. I don't care about crowds. I don't care about styles. I just care about knowing God more, seeking God more, and desiring the things of God. Can I say this? Thank you for desiring the things of God. Because a church can come together and the leadership can seek and desire God. But unless the people get together, unless we lock arms, unless we say we're in this together, unless we all come together and seek God, we will not see revival and we won't see God move. So I say thank you. And I would encourage you and challenge you to keep seeking the things of God. Keep seeking the face of God. Can I say that to you as your pastor? The Bible says seek the face of God. And so many times we want to seek the hand of God. Because the hand of God signifies the blessing of God. The hand of God touches us and heals us. The hand of God gives us provision. The hand of God moves miracles. But can I tell you, rather than the things that God can give to you and I, we should seek his face and seek to have a relationship with him and seek to be one with him. That's when God begins to move. Can I challenge you? Jeremiah 29:13. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart. Can I continue to challenge you and encourage you and ask you to seek God with your whole heart? Not seek God with half of your heart. Not seek God with three quarters of your heart. But to seek God with all of your heart. To seek God in the middle of trouble. To seek God in the middle of a screwed up nation. To seek God when the economy doesn't look good. To seek God when liberalism seems to be taking over. To seek God when cancer has entered into your family. Continue to seek God with all of your heart. Because when we seek God, we will find him. Matthew 6:33 says it well. Jesus says it well himself. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all the rest will be added unto you. So here we are, me and you, common folk. Come on, somebody. Country folk. How many of you proud to be from the country? Come on, y'all. Like rural folks. Here we are, working folk, conservative folk,
Republican folks.
Here we are, seeking and desiring God, seeking everything that he has for us here at little old Bethel Assembly in Anson, Texas, dirtiest little town in Texas and the most shunned church there is in this town. Come on, somebody. They think we're crazy. They say you got that preacher that's crazy and you play that old fiddle music. It's just a bunch of honky-tonk music and a bunch of hillbillies wind up over there. Call us what you want to call us, but Jesus calls us his. Come on, somebody. Thank God. For our home sweet church home. Thank God that we come hang out. I'm glad I get to come hang out with you. Some of you, I'm glad I get to come hang out with you on Sundays. Little old church. We haven't been trained. We haven't been properly taught. We haven't been to seminary. We don't have it all figured out. But thank God for this place. I'm better because of this place. This place blesses me. I love to come to this place. My children love to come to this place. Thank God we aren't perfect. We're a little bit rural. We're a whole lot conservative. Your worship pastor has a good beard, but he's a little bit chicken fried. Your lead pastor is kind of crazy, and he gets it wrong a whole lot. But thank God for our church. A good church is so important to our spiritual strength and our spiritual vitality and to our growth. I know, can I just say this? I know a lot of you come a long way, man. I know you come a long, long way, but you went a long way to watch travel ball for your kids, too. Come on, somebody. I know you come a long way. When we lived in Guthrie, Texas, we drove 52 miles to get to church, and it was the place where God had ordered us to be, and it was the place where God moved, and where the place where God called us into ministry. It was worth it all. So thank you for coming. Don't give up. Keep coming and keep looking and keep searching for the Lord. We're continuing to seek God and desire God above all else. And today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about growth. Some of you are growing wider, heavier, taller, shorter. We're growing. We're all growing. Growth. Growth is a natural part of life. Growth is a healthy part of life. It's like watching your kids grow up. As I look at my kids, man, I see my kids playing the drums and playing the bass. And Clara's next door. She's 12, but she's on the rotation in the nursery over there, y'all. Like, she loves kids. She loves to serve. She loves to help. I see my kids, and I think back about when they were born and when they were grown, man, they were so small. Will was born. Golly, I didn't cry, but Jennifer did. And then I had this friend named Bill Flowers. He used to tell me it takes a pretty good man to produce two boys, Cody. And then Jesse came along, and it was my second boy, you know. And then Clara came along, and I mean, you know, them daughters can mess you up. Can I hear a good amen? To see my kids, you know, they're so small and they're so young and they're born and they're so cuddly and they're so dependent and they love you so much. And then they start growing up. They start crawling themselves and they start pulling themselves up on the coffee table. They begin to walk and they want to go with dad and they want to cook in the kitchen with mom. And they're starting to become these little bitty people. And then the teenage years. Oh, dear Lord, help us all. They get so smart when they turn 13. Come on, somebody. And we get so dumb. Can I hear a good amen? And they're such little smart Alex. And then they grow and they become their own men. They become their own little women. They're strong, they're healthy, and they're growing. And sometimes for us parents, we don't like to watch them grow, but it's healthy and it's natural. They have to grow up. How many know growth can have its struggles? Come on, somebody. Each new season, you had to get new clothes, new boots, new saddles, new horses, new bicycles, new baseball gloves. How many know each new season gets a little bit more expensive? Come on, y'all. Each season can cause us, if we're really real, each new season can cause us to long for the previous season. I just wish they would sit here and let me hold them once again. I just wish they would listen to me and look at me like I'm the smartest person they know. Each season can cause us to long for the previous season. Each new season can cause us to be insecure and become fearful. Each new season, I've never done this before. How does this work? How am I going to do this? I don't know what to do. We're a little bit insecure. We're fearful. How is this going to work out? But you see, I believe God gives us seasons. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that there is a time and a season for everything under the sun. And I think God gives us new seasons so that we will never get comfortable in life and think we have it figured out anymore. God gives us new seasons because each new season brings insecurity and we have to learn to lean on Him once again and trust Him to guide our thoughts and our steps. So here we are, growth at our home sweet home at the Bethel Assembly in Anson, Texas. I tell you this a lot. We've been here 23 years, me and Tubby have. 23 years, and can I tell you, we've seen a lot of seasons and a lot of changes in 23 years. The first Sunday I ever went, Will was born. I went home that night to get Jennifer some clothes, and we had a little phone recorder. You know, had the little small cassette tapes. How many of y'all remember them, Loka? You didn't have voicemail yet. And they left me a message, asked me to come to Bethel Assembly and fill in for 2 weeks. I remember the first Sunday I was ever here, Tubby was at home with Will. Connor was 3. And Darren wasn't even born yet. I remember we began to do church. It was me and 13 other people. They were all over 70 and they hated me and I hated them. I never forget the first time that we took communion. I went to the back of the church down. There was a little brick church back down the road. It had pink trim. It was the ugliest pink trim you've ever seen in your life. We took communion, me and those 13 people, and I went to the back in the kitchen back there, and I was looking for something to take communion in, and we didn't have the throwaway little shot glasses you put grape juice in. They had reusable, rewashable glass communion cups. And I filled up 15 of those little communion cups with grape juice, and Florence, Granny Flo, we used to call her. I don't know if y'all ever knew her or not, but she made a homemade loaf of bread because we couldn't afford to go to town and buy any bread at that time. And we served communion with a homemade loaf of bread and those little shot glasses, and we took them to the back and washed them out with Dawn soap and had them ready for the next time after church. It was so good, man. God began to grow and God began to move. And by that time, a few weeks later, people started coming and God started moving. And all of a sudden, what was 13, it was really good serving communion. In about 6 months, we had about 100 people coming and it was changing. It was new. And we were met with lots of resistance at that time because it wasn't the way they had always done it. And we had new people and new volunteers and new singers and new ideas and new music. And how many of you know new things can be hard? New things can be hard. Change can be hard. Next thing you know, we started knocking out walls in the back of that church down there. There were little rooms here, a little room here, and a little room there, and a little room there. We started knocking out walls and having fellowships in the back. Listen to me. Look. All we had was swamp coolers in the back to cool it off. How many of y'all even know what swamp coolers are? We'll melt your vanilla wafers. Come on, somebody. And make your bread soggy. We had them back there. We'd go out there and water down the pads, turn the deals on. We had a great time hanging out in the back. We just became friends and had fellowship around Christ Jesus. We ran out of parking. There was no parking. We were able to purchase the property next to us for more parking. All of a sudden, things, we got full. Y'all think it's hot down here? You ought to have been back down there. We had 100 people in a little bitty building that seated about 50, and I would get there at like 4:30 in the morning on Sunday morning, crank the air conditioners down to 60 degrees, and by the time we filled it up with body heat, it was about 110, and everybody was sweating like a pig in church. But we just kept knocking walls out, and we just kept having church. And then God opened the opportunity for us to buy this facility down here where we're at now. Man, that was a whole nother season, because before there was 100 people and we were packed out and it felt really full of energy and full of fire. And then we come down to this big building and there was 100 people sitting in a little place right there in front of everybody. Actually, y'all wasn't. They were all spread out because y'all don't like to sit by each other. They were spread out all over the place. But it felt weird. It felt different. It was a new season. And we had to pray and we had to work through and keep seeking God. And 23 years later, here we are. We're still seeking God. I love you, but I love God more than I love you. And we need God to show up, and God is still moving, and God is still saving, and God is still restoring marriages, and God is still calling children, wayward children out of the pig pen, bringing us back, and here we are. We're stepping into a new season. I'll be straight up honest with you. We're fitting to build a building out there. Come on, y'all. It's going to seat 650 people, and we're going to build a campus, and it's going to just bring glory to God. And I believe this, 39 baptisms is going to be nothing compared to the people that we're going to baptize through what God's allowing us to be a part of. But it's a new season. It can be scary. It can bring insecurities. It can bring fear. It's going to take a lot of faith from all of us together. How many, you know, teamwork makes the dream work. And we're going to have faith, and we're going to have prayer, and we're going to have to focus, and we're going to have sacrifice. I'm going to read you a scripture right now that you're going to hear many times over the next 3 or 4 weeks. But I believe it's a scripture, Isaiah 54. I believe it's a scripture that God has given to you and I for this season that we're in Bethel Assembly. The prophet Isaiah 54, verse 2 through 3 says this: enlarge the place of your tent. Like build, like get it bigger. Let the curtains of your habitation be stretched. Do not hold back. Lengthen the cords and strengthen your stakes. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. Isaiah says, stretch it out. Isaiah says, build. Isaiah says, I'm going to fill it up. Isaiah says to us, stretch it out. And can I tell you what speaks to me the most about that scripture right there? As we come and we have two families dedicate their babies and their children to the Lord today, it just signifies to me, Isaiah said, stretch it out and build it. And he says, build it because your offspring will possess the nations. Do you realize, and I want you to understand, that God is allowing us to be a part of something, and God is allowing us to build something that will not just bless our generation and not just let us be comfortable on Sunday morning, but God is allowing us to build something where our sons and daughters can take over and our sons and daughters can experience the power of God. What God is doing in Bethel Assembly is not just for our generation, but is for generations to come. And that excites me. It's your kids. It's my kids. Dude, I don't care about me, but them right there, I want them to be able to stand on my shoulders and take the glory of God to a next level. My kids, your kids, our grandkids, God has trusted us. And I say us because it's us, y'all. Listen to me. Look, it's us. This BS about it's all about the preacher and the worship leader and all that stuff. We can't do anything without you guys. We can't make it without your love and your support and your prayers. We are in this thing together, y'all. God has trusted us, you and me, to be a part of something. It's going to bless this generation and the next generation. It's time. I don't need to tell you this. You're here today and you're wishing you weren't sitting so close to someone. Come on, somebody. Now, I don't need to tell you that we're packed out. I don't need to tell you that it's time to enlarge, stretch forth our tent. It's going to take us all. Y'all, this is a change, a new season. Can I just tell you straight up? It's going to be expensive, y'all. But how many know? If we all come together and work together, we can do this thing for the glory of Almighty God. And we cannot outgive the Lord. I'm going to show you some pictures of our new campus. You've seen them before, but I'm going to show you again once today. We're excited about it. We love it. We're so stoked. This is the campus. This is the whole campus thing, man. This is the dream. This is what we hope for. A sanctuary over here to the top left that will seat 650 people. We're going to have this facility to be a huge coffee bar where men and women and children can come hang out. They can drink coffee. They can have Bible studies. The play area out front is going to be AstroTurf. Families having picnics. Kids playing catch. Roping the dummy. Doing whatever you do. The nursery is going to be upgraded, playground. This is our dream. This is what we feel like God has given us, birthed inside of us. Between Abilene and Wichita Falls, there's not going to be a place like this place where the glory of God resides. We're excited about it. We're stoked about it. Can I tell you something? It's going to take all of us sacrificing to get there. Give me the goals, y'all. Show me the goals up there. Here's the goals. We have three goals. We have the vision, which is $1.2 million. It's going to take to get a sanctuary built. And I know it's crazy times, but to get a sanctuary built, it's $1.2 million. That's the first thing. That's our vision. Because really, that's all we want, just a place to worship God. Where we're not crowded, where we don't have to do three or four services, just $1.2 million. The second is the dream, which is $2 million. It'll be an upgraded nursery. It'll be a little bit of area outside to kind of hang out. We'll upgrade it in here. $2.5 million is the miracle. It's the whole thing that we saw a while ago. It's the ultimate thing for Anson, Texas. Can I tell you, we are so thankful for the connection that we have with the Assemblies of God. Can I tell you, the first bid that we got for that campus that I showed y'all a while ago was $5 million. I said, have you lost your mind? And through the connection and the friendship and the relationships and the kingdom of God with the Assemblies of God, we have cut that thing in half and $2.5 million for the miracle thing to come to pass. And it's going to come to pass. I believe it's going to come to pass, and it's going to take all of us. To be honest with you, I am excited. I am fired up. I'm ready to jump, shout, charge the gates of hell with a water pistol and just do what God wants to do. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a little bit nervous too. Come on, somebody. I've never done this before. I didn't get in this thing. I didn't say yes to God 23 years ago so that I could raise money. I said yes to God 23 years ago so we could share the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ with lost and hurting people. But here we are, and how many churches would love to have the problem that we're having right now? How many men and women that I know that are in the ministry that say, I wish we could be pushing to build a new facility? So here's what I want to ask you today. I want to ask you guys. I've not asked you in 23 years. I really have not. We've not asked, this church has not asked, we've not asked for you to give much. But I'm challenging now, would you go home and just pray about what God's asking you to give? Would you go home and ask God, I want to be a part. God, I want to do my part. God, what can I give? Each season of growth requires sacrifice. And here's what I want you to do. I want to ask you to pray what you can give above your regular tithes. Our tithes are 10%, and our tithes pay our current bills and pay our current salaries and pay our current debt. And, you know, I'm thankful for that, but I want to ask you to ask God. Say, God, I want to give a little bit more. I don't want to give minimum. I want to give more. We've always tried at this church, me and my family, we've tried to lead by example. We're not going to ask you to do anything that we're not willing to do. And I want to just be straight up and be honest with you today. Can I do that? I want to share with you, we've prayed and we've talked about commitment and we've talked about giving towards this deal. It may not mean nothing. You may be rich. I don't know. I don't think you are, but you may be. We're certainly rich in the kingdom of God, but we're not really rich in this world. But we've made a commitment in the next 2 years. Here's what I want to ask you to do. I'll tell you about it in a minute. Jennifer and I and my family, we've committed to give $30,000 over the next 2 years to go towards this. It may not be much to you, but like, I'm on a fixed salary. That's a big portion of my yearly income, but we're willing to do it because we believe in it so much. I've said this, for 2 years I'm not buying another new shirt. I ain't lying. We've said, I go and get an opportunity to go speak a lot of opportunities at the Assemblies of God. Every honorarium and every bit of money that I receive from going and speaking out from other places at the Assemblies of God, I'm going to just give back to the building fund. No questions asked. And it may not be nothing to you, but it's big to me. We've committed for the next 2 years to take no family vacations. We're going to take the money that we would spend on those family vacations, and we're going to give it to this building fund. And I'm not telling you that because I want you to honor me, and I'm not telling you that because you go, oh, wow, Cody. I'm just telling you, if you know me and you've come to church here, our family vacations are important to us, but we believe in this project, and we believe in this vision so much, we're willing to sacrifice a little bit. Today, maybe you're here, and you go, Cody, I don't even tithe. I don't even give my 10%. I don't even give my first fruits to the kingdom of God. I would say this to you. If you're not a regular tither, your gift to this, towards this, your contribution towards this vision is just start being a tither. Just say, God has given me everything that I've got, and I'm going to give 10% my first fruits back to Him. Growing is hard. Giving sacrificially is hard. Can I say this right quick? Every one of us can give something. We'll talk more about it as we move on the next few weeks. There was a widow in the scripture that just threw a couple of pennies in the plate. And Jesus said, those two pennies are worth more than all the millions that the rest of you have given. It's not about the number. It's not about the volume. It's about a heart of saying, I'm going to sacrificially give. As we move forward, we're going to have two opportunities to give. How many of you know, can I say this right quick? We need to learn to give, and we need to learn to teach our children to give. Because in this world, it's become all about what can I get? What's this government done for me? What's this school system done for me? What's everything done to me? And the Bible teaches us it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. This is a good opportunity to teach your children. My kids, I love my kids. My kids have already committed to sacrifice some of their career and some of their salary to give towards this thing. It's a great opportunity for us parents. I got to get out of here and knock this titty baby stuff off. We're going to have two opportunities to give. The first one I'm going to ask you, and we'll have you some handouts and we'll have you some material next week. We're going to ask you to commit to give over the next 2 years. Not one big lump sum, just a little bit along each month to give. And then we're also going to have a big giving day. May 26th is going to be our big commitment day. It's in about 3 weeks. It's the big day. We're going to fill out our forms. We're going to commit to this. We're going to look, and we believe that God's going to fulfill all of our needs. And you know what I think? I think we're going to have this thing, $2.5 million, and I think we're going to be debt-free in 2 years. It's just what I think. That's what I think. But also, listen to me, look. Do not quit praying for the Lord to send that really, 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 really rich guy to come along and sign a check for $2.5 million. Boom! Pay for it all and we'll be done. We're going to have May 26th, big commitment day, what I will give over the next 2 years. The week after that, we're going to bring our cash offerings. I'll just tell you, for me and Jennifer, maybe it's little to you. We're going to give $5,000 that Sunday. I'm going to sell some spurs and I'm going to sell some bits and we're going to gather some money. We're going to give $5,000 just to that day. Just working together. I believe in faith. I believe sacrifice. I believe in focus. I believe you. I believe in me. I believe in God. And I believe God's going to do something crazy at this place right here. Conrad and worship team, come help me close. How many of you would say, and you don't even have to say amen, how many of you would say, this place has been so good to me? I have grown, I have learned, I have stretched. This place in God has given so much to me, and now it's our chance to give back. And so here's going to be my driving theme for this. I dare you. I dare you to give like you've never given before. I dare you to do what you've never done before. I dare you to step out on faith. I dare you. I dare you to go on this journey with us. I dare you, because it's a journey like you've never been on before. Just learning to give, that's the main thing. Learning to give sacrificially. Because here's what the Bible says in Luke 6:38, my last scripture and I'm done. Luke 6:38 says, give. Everybody say, give. Give and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. That means if I give a little, I'm getting a little. But if I give a lot, I'm getting a lot. So I'm going to ask you to stand up on your feet. We're going to close with worship. I preached way too long for this 9:30 service. We have 4 minutes to worship God and be out of here. So let's pray quickly. Father, you are good. You are mighty. You are worthy. You have given to us more than we deserve. You have given to us eternal salvation. You have given us our families and our health. Lord, your promises are great and exceeding precious promises. Your promises are yes and amen. And so, God, I just pray that you would put upon us the giving spirit, that we would learn to be sacrificial, that we would give back, God. And in giving back, many lives would be changed, many lives would be touched, many marriages would be restored, many souls would be saved. Lord, let us understand the principle of it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Thank you for our home sweet home. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, let's sing like we love the Lord today.